to let you all have this. This is something that we give our teachers when they come on as new baby teachers at Brentwood. So I'm just going to let you pass this out to Candace's side, and if you will start passing that up. So I'm not going to read it or anything. It's just additional information, and mainly it's just reminders of what you can do in the classroom with babies. So you all have done this job. There is nothing that can bring you closer to God than looking in the face of a baby and seeing the wonder of His creation. And they are so sweet. It's just great to. Did y'all have any left over? You know, you can bring a baby into our office at church, and the whole world turns upside down. I mean, it is just wonderful because we get to see them, we can smile at them, hold them if the mom lets us, and we have a lot of young women on our children's staff, and on our preschool staff, everybody has grown children, so we get grandchildren, so that's even better. But, so, teaching babies really is important. I have a statement up here, and I probably had this when I was here before, but I believe in it so much. And that is that God created the child with the capacity to learn about Him. And do you agree with that statement?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sure. When you think about how a baby develops in the womb, the brain is even being wired at that moment to recognize the voice of its mom and our dad, but the baby will always prefer mother because that's the voice they hear all the time. So that's amazing. And that a child's focus at that age is about 12 inches. That's probably the distance between the face and the elbow, and that's where you're holding them. God planned it that way. I mean, just those little things that we can pick up and know about His creation of children and how that affects their growth and development. Be able to focus on their own mother or their dad or siblings. So it's important that they have those opportunities in life where it's stress-free and all that good stuff. So we're going to come back in just a minute I drug this back out, these three statements, because the last time I was here and I did babies, we talked about being fun. Don't know if you remember, but I said, what does fun translate to children? Faithful teachers. Unfailing love. Unconditional love, I could have said. And a nurturing spirit. That's what's going to help you as a baby teacher. To take a deep breath when a crier comes into the room. And continues to cry and cry. And cry. And the best thing to do is just to take a deep breath yourself so that you can just unwind and they can sense your relaxed state. If we're uptight, they're going to continue to cry. But if we can calm ourselves, they'll begin to calm themselves as we try to help them get over that separation anxiety. It's going to happen. Melinda and I were talking about it tonight. I wish our parents would bring their children when they were just a couple months old, maybe. Some parents don't want to let go of their children that, but they'll take them to worship and they'll take them to their Sunday school classes where there's more germs than their Sunday school classroom. Makes no sense. Or they'll wait and bring their child for the very first time when they're going through separation anxiety around 4 and 5 months or 6 months. And they're going to cry. And what does that do to the new mom? She wants to cry and doesn't want you to have a baby, you know, as much as you're trying to. Going to be okay. You know, you're not literally ripping it out of her, to her arms, but you'd like to just to be able to let mom go on and enjoy her class. But when I think of this, that God created a child because to learn about Him, then that means that Sunday morning, I believe there's something the child can learn about God. And you're thinking, come on, man, they're babies. What are they going to learn? Well, they can, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But There are moments when I want to say, I have to keep up with my notes because of the lateness of the hour, and I don't want to ramble at this. But what do you think God would like for babies to experience when they're in our classroom?
Love.
Love.
Security.
Security. Yeah. For them to hear His name, perhaps in a song or in a conversation. So, does that mean that we're not there so that Mom and Dad can go to worship or Sunday school? We're there because we feel like God has something for us to teach His children. That's why we're there. And if you can think of yourselves in that term, or if you work during a child care setting, it's the same thing. Anytime the child is at church, God has something for that child to learn about Him. So, in your mind, begin thinking, what do I need to do? How is that going to make my session for this Sunday morning or whenever the child is at church? How is that going to make that session different? So, in your mind, begin to think of those opportunities. What can babies learn? We have a whole chart that's in every one of our rooms that talks about what children can learn at specific ages. But what can they learn? We said they need to feel secure so they can learn to trust Stacy every Sunday. They can learn to trust Erica when she's there, to take care of her needs. So they're going to learn to trust and have that opportunity to feel stress-free. Now, other babies cry. We do know that crying is contagious somewhat. But music can help calm a child that comes into a classroom. So if you have music on that is at low, you know, sing-song kind of style or rhythm, the more beats you have per minute, the more they're going to be trying to listen to it that way and not as calm and comforting. Doesn't mean that you can't interject that later in the morning, but to begin with, as they come in, having that music. One of my favorite is just hymns that are instrumental hymns. And that, to me, I think it really does help the course of learning to get going. So babies can learn that they can trust the person that's teaching them or taking care of them. What else can they learn?
Church is a happy place.
Amen. Exactly. Church is a happy place to be. When children begin, and this can begin with babies, they learn through a feeling. That's the very first, you have a feeling about being there. Oh, I know her. That's the way she calls me. Or because every person who holds a baby, the baby immediately knows that it's different from the mother. Because only mother holds them in certain ways. The contour of her body, everything is different from one adult to the next. So each time they come to the classroom, they have the capacity to have several people hold them. So the security of that, so that they can feel secure in that setting. They will learn that Mom will come back, but it may take some crying to learn that trust. I've told moms, when they cry, don't worry, it doesn't bother us. It just means they have an attachment to you, and that's what we want them to have. That's what we want to happen. That's a wonderful thing. So, all right. Now, I hope that I want to just turn around a few things here. What kind of teacher are you? Okay, and you're thinking, okay, Anne, I teach babies. I don't really need to know how to plan. Sure you do. Have you got all your resources and everything ready for diaper changing? Do you have your method for heating bottles? In the state of Tennessee, we can no longer use, white crock pots. So we use
we'll have pans. We've just started this, that will have hot water in it, and we just need to take the chill off. And we can change it out, and because we have sinks in our room to get that. So that's what we'll do when we know it's getting time for that. So I also want to have out my teaching resources. I don't want to have the same thing all the time out, so it doesn't become different. There might be some familiar toys and stuff from Sunday to Sunday, but not always the very same thing out all the time. That's no fun. And to try something that's different, that's not found at home, entices learning. Even babies are multi-sensory learners, aren't they? So that means if we can engage them in more than one sense, they're going to learn. So again, they will begin to learn who we are in relationship to the environment that we have set for them. And then they'll begin to hear the words we speak. They may not be able to say God and Jesus right away, but they might in another year or several months. This is not babies, but this was a one-year-old, and I think it started way back with the baby. We had a one-year-old that was visiting our church, and his dad brought him to worship. Brought him to Sunday school that morning. And I taught in the 11 o'clock hour, so he came in the 9:30 hour, so he was going to be there both sessions. So when I got in, the teacher before me said, "And his dad brought him, and he's going to be picking him up." And I said, "Okay." This was many years ago, before we had the security systems. So that tells you how long ago it was. So, you know, ones don't have a lot of furniture because they have to move around and they need to move and run and experience things. And everything's on the floor for them because that's where they're close to. So we had the teaching picture on the floor. We had it so that they could reach it and hold it and carry it around if they wanted to in the mornings. And about, I guess, 10 minutes before most of the parents were going to start coming, knock on the door, and it was his father. And so I cracked the door just long enough, and he waited at the door, and his son saw him. And he went running toward his daddy, and then he stopped about a third of the way to the door, walked back, picked up the picture of Jesus, walked to his father, and said, "Jesus?" I just went, "Oh, how special." I can't take credit for any of that. Because that kind of recognition and wanting to tell his father doesn't happen in one session or two sessions. So wherever he came, he recognized that picture. Maybe they were, as another Baptist church, used the same curriculum we use. He recognized the picture. So, but that dad did exactly what he needed to. He went immediately to the ground on his son's eye level, and he said, "Jesus, you saw the picture, Jesus." That's when I'll be. So, anytime, but that's what we're doing every Sunday. This just happened to be, I mean, we had experiences like that with some of our own children because we did it consistently every Sunday. But this is his first time. It just blew, I still haven't forgotten it, and it's probably close to 30 years ago that happened. So, those kinds of things do make a difference in the life of the child and want to come back to church. Because he trusts the individuals there. Okay, I feel like I'm just a talking head right now. And one of the things I want you to look at is using the Bible. Now, before you turn me off, I believe that every baby needs to be able to hold the Bible. And touch it safely. And here's somebody So we're going to do an acrostic, and there's not any specific word, but we're going to use it as discussion. What's a B word that encourages me to use Bible with babies? Beautiful. Okay.
A B word.
Beautiful. Pardon? You said beautiful?
Uh-huh. Some said, what, somebody else say something over here? My hearing is way too sweet. Okay. All right. Beautiful. It's beneficial to us as adults. It will learn to be beneficial to the child. So
So to be able to touch it and do that. Okay. What about the eye? Investing. Okay. It is. Using it is going to invest. What about inviting?
Important.
Important. Yes, important. Very important.
Yes. What's the second day?
Best.
Yes.
Best.
Best. Best.
What about L?
Love.
Lasting.
Lasting. Learning.
Learning.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about E?
Engaging.
Eternal. Yes, it is eternal. Okay. All right. These are just some words to get us thinking about why we want to use the Bible with babies. Just another experience I had when I taught at Lifeway, we had another conference center up in the north that was called Green Lake. And we rented the facility, and we had a preschool building on the site so we could do some observation teaching with the teachers that were coming to get training. And there was one little girl that had anxiety toward coming. She didn't know anybody, brand new experience, flew away from mom and dad. And she was probably close to a year old. But I walked back up the hill to the building to make sure everything was going all right that morning before I went back down to start teaching, because parents began taking their children to the building before the first worship service that morning. So I went up there, and the director of the building was saying, and the cutest thing, this mom and dad came in and said that this child had a security, not like a security blanket, but it was her Bible. That was her security. So sure enough, I had a picture. Son, I don't have it anymore. I wish I did. But one of the teachers was strolling her outside to kind of calm her down, and she was holding her Bible like this. Just like that Read to Me Bible, the blue one, just like this. Mm-hmm. And I thought, whoa, that picture says so much. Mm-hmm. But yet it was familiar to her, and it was one of the ones that was in the classroom that day. It looked just like hers. I don't think her parents brought it, but they told us about it. Said they knew the Bible more than likely would be in the classroom. And so they told her, she really likes the Bible. And she did. So, do you need multiple Bibles in a baby room? Good. Because as they're crawling, they want what somebody else has. They're going to go padding. So this might be good to have too. But let me encourage you to let them hold the book that we call the Bible. Let them touch its pages. Sing songs about it. Have music playing in the background. Show them teaching pictures. Even the teaching picture for the day, you might want to slip into the Bible so that when you take it out, you can show them the picture. You can say Bible. They can begin. You can say God as you're talking about God or Jesus or whatever the story character is that day. Talk about it as you're opening the Bible so they can begin to make association that those stories are found in the Bible. And you're saying, but why do you have to do it so early, Anne? We have ones and twos that can learn that later. Why not? Because I said the very first way children learn is through feelings. And then it's through an attitude. I have a feeling about this teacher. She likes me. I like her. I have a new attitude going. And then the attitude is a concept. I hear what she's saying. I trust her. So, and that's how we learn, isn't it? Through feelings, attitudes, and concepts. Our understanding would be our concept, what we learn about that. So even babies can begin to do that. Children who always come to church will never be able to tell you when they first heard the name of God. But they know they did, and they know who's at church. Perhaps it wasn't as a baby. Maybe their church, their family didn't come to church with babies. I mean, as a baby. But they know it. But we can do that with them. All right. These are myths. Some are myths, some are truth. Tell me which one of these statements is a myth. All babies learn in the same way.
No.
All babies need to cry it out.
No.
They have to learn to trust, so that's it. They're going to have to do that. Babies can learn anything, so why read to them? Can't learn anything, excuse me, I had the wrong word. Babies can't learn anything, so why read to them? Yeah. What happens when you're reading or talking to a child, if you're showing them a book? What's happening when you're sitting there with a child and doing that? What's happening in that moment?
They're learning.
They're learning.
But what are they learning?
Basic pictures.
Whatever. That picture's naming something. But they're also learning that it's good to be with you. They're building that relationship to you, so they'll look forward to coming in and they'll be more ready to sit down with you or to interact with you or to do other things with you in that moment. So those are great. One of the things, I said sometimes you can make things and bring them into the classroom. So I made this little felt thing, and all it is a wet ones. It's old. They make them now with plastic. They don't use the hard plastic much anymore. But they can, just to leave it open, and they can just pull it. And just pull it. What can a baby feel about doing this?
Fun.
All you have to do is stuff it back in there, and they'll do it over and over and over again. Okay, would they have one of these at home?
No.
Not unless her mom went to a conference and learned it. You know, have to teach it. So why is it important to have things in the classroom that are not the same thing they have at home?
They can see different things.
I'm sorry, say that too loud.
They can see different things that is more exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It enhances their learning, doesn't it? It just really, it's something. And then they use their hands and their eyes in different ways.
And the texture, the feeling.
Mm-hmm. They can put it in their mouth, and at that point,
yeah,
it needs to go up on the shelf.
Right.
But it could really be used for a little while in the classroom. Okay. So toys like that can be very, very entertaining. Okay. Babies can't learn anything about the Bible.
Wrong.
I kind of set you up for that one. Mm-hmm. You can't teach babies anything, they're too young.
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay, so tell me a moment in your time with babies at church, in the classroom, that you think they learned something from you or your action with another baby, something they observed.
Sometimes we can do funny faces and then they try to imitate you.
They learn through imitation, y'all. They do. And they will imitate your faces.
Yes.
The sounds.
Yes.
The sounds.
They mimic it right back because they're learning to talk. Point in case, do not talk baby talk to a baby. Aren't you just the cutest little thing I've ever seen? Is that how you want them to talk? No. But that's what they're going to learn. They're learning speech. So another thing, when we talk about learning speech, talk about what you see on the pages.
I see a boy with a ball. It has blue and red in it. I see a boy and girl, or is that both of them girls? No, boy and girl, in the pool, swimming pool.
So talk to them about the actions that they're doing when they're playing with certain toys. You can pull the pieces of fabric from, you may say, the cloth out of the box. Well, now I can't. Okay. So, anyway, talk about the action and interchange that with them because, I mean, when you talk about what you're doing and they can mimic you.
but they can also learn language. Okay? So, what have we talked about already now about learning in the classroom?
I want y'all to go to sleep with me. I want you to talk back to me now.
What have you heard us say that you can use on Sunday morning?
Next Sunday.
The Bible. The Bible teaching the
using
word.
The Bible. I mean, I've had teachers say, and they tear the pages. So what? I can buy another one.
Yeah.
They're not, I mean, they may rip it without realizing.
Okay.
But it's okay. Right. It's not like they're like this. Just kind of turning the pages, they do it. You know, I'm going to, if they start doing something I don't want to, I'm going to put my hand on their hand. I said, let's hold the Bible. You know, and just your tone of voice can get them into another tone of action or that kind of thing, so. But I said I'd much rather see a Bible used in torn pages than a brand new Bible on the shelf that's never been touched by a baby. Okay. And it's not that we're worshiping the Bible, but that's where we get information on how we live, how God has told us how to live. Of course, our actions are going to speak about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. The other thing I want to talk to you about, okay, I want you to, I'm going to divide you up because I want you to remember it this way, because if I don't, it's going to be unusual. I want you to remember the word emotion.
Okay.
I want you to remember the word social. I want you to remember the word physical. And I'd like Erica, for you to use the word mental. Okay? Now, I'm going to read some words to you. And these are ways that children learn. Okay? These are some things, some actions that we do, or things that we can use, or actions that will do one of those four things. Okay? Interaction.
Social.
Social.
Emotional.
Okay, it could be mental. See, some of these can be all three. And that's the neat thing about it. Stable relationships.
Mental.
Trust.
What happens if you have a stable relationship?
You trust.
Yes. So that could be emotional, it could be social.
Mm-hmm.
How you respond is a social aspect of touch.
Physical.
Mm-hmm. Music.
Same.
Emotional.
Same.
And that's one of the best ways to learn is music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can recall so many things to that. I mean, I talk about how many times do you read scripture that's been placed in music?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do in your mind? You can't not sing the phrases in your mind with the melody. So
I've been trying to sing this song.
Yeah, you do. You're singing that song right as it goes. And play.
Social. Physical.
And physical?
Mm-hmm.
What about communicate?
Social.
Mental, because you're thinking about what they want to say, okay? A safe, healthy environment.
Emotional.
It could be social, but probably more emotional. Self-esteem.
Emotional.
So those are words that we want to remember as we are going to have interaction with them. We're going to offer them stable relationships. We're going to allow them to touch things in order to... We're going to have things that they can touch in the room that's safe for them. We're going to read to them. They're going to hear music. They're going to have the option to play. You know, babies that come together and want to touch another baby's face or their hair, and you think, oh, none of them have another baby at home unless they're a twin. You know, they don't. They want to, you have hair like I do.
You know, but they told you really, they love to play with your
hair.
They
do love to play with your hair. Yes. So they're constantly doing this number to you. And it's a texture of your hair. Have you ever,
I know when I taught babies once, I noticed this little baby just loved to scratch. Mm-hmm. Here, or when I was feeding the father, I'm thinking, no, oh, I'm ticklish. You know, they would want to touch me under here all the time. I thought, woo! It's just the first time a baby did that, I went, they were in my lap, so I wouldn't have dropped them. But the other teacher went, what happened? She's tickling me. So, anyway. Okay. So, these are just some ways, some things for us to remember when we're actually with babies during the course of the morning. So, babies, we talk about ones and twos and threes through kindergarten having learning centers to play with, to play in. Where are the babies' learning centers?
The crib,
your lap, the floor time,
on the floor.
So they have places where they learn in the room as well. With a toy, with anything that's in there. I saw this, I got this at the dollar store a few years ago.
That's cute.
I just, babies would love it to roll. Mm-hmm. It's cleanable. You know, I thought it was so cute. So just watching for things like that. Just the pad. See, all these things that we can have in their visual eyesight and that they want to play with it. Things that are different. I could take this so it wouldn't be sharp to them.
Yeah.
And this is something I made, I won't say how many years ago, mm-hmm. to place in the crib for the babies to look at, for the young infants. They like the black and the white contrast colors because they can see things. They can visualize and kind of fixate on that.
But we're not supposed to put anything on the cribs.
Mm-hmm.
No, mm-hmm. That's the new law.
You can't put any of that in cribs? Okay. Could you put this on the floor where they're crawling to it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Just another place to put it. Anyway. Okay. Now, I want to talk about the four stages of emotional development. And this is really, I think, important for us to remember because a child is developing emotionally and we want them to be able to grow in a healthy way. And these are things that we're going to do. So I'm going to hand out, we have just, how much more time do we have? I forgot what time it ended.
It's
10:57. About 10 minutes? 20
minutes. So, like, 13-ish.
13, okay. So this will be just about, okay, if you'll pass these out, I'm not going to read them to you, but we'll discuss them and how it's important to learning. These are called stages of emotional development. And as you see, the very first one is, all of this is written down on your sheet, so becoming calm and attentive and interact and interested in the world. The youngest children, one of the things we need to do is to help them develop a calm. We can develop a calm atmosphere in the classroom. We can have music playing as they come in. We can have things for them to sit and experience. I have found that it's best to let mom or dad wait at the door instead of coming into the classroom because when a child comes in and they hear another mother's voice, it immediately makes them think of, where's my mom? I don't recognize that voice because they already recognize the voices of the teachers in the classroom. So they already know that part of it. So helping them to become calm so they can be attentive and interested in the world around them. So it's important that they have opportunities. And these are just ways that can be done. So the next stage of development I call is falling in love, which is anything that doesn't seem like love because it's when separation anxiety is happening. And that's when they have fallen in love with mom and they don't want to be away from you. So it's really kind of, it's interesting, it's great. It does cause us some, now it's the lateness of the night, and I can't think of my words.
But it could be disconcerting to us if we are, if the choirs. But I do believe we could be, if we can calm ourselves and encourage our teachers just to take a deep breath, even while they're screaming in their ear, so that they can begin to learn to calm themselves. Becoming a two-way communicator. This is what we're talking about, imitating, and what they're doing, whether it's through visual expression, or through trying to talk, or trying to wave. How does a baby wave?
Okay.
He doesn't do this way, he waves this way.
Yes, they're going like
this. Because that's what they see when you're doing this. So they do it so they can see it. They don't get it yet. They will.
Oh, yeah.
But this is what they see coming at them. They don't see the back of their hand waving at someone.
Are they going to do this?
So they're imitating. But what are some ways that babies do communicate with us? Do they fidget when they want to get on the floor? Get out of your lap and onto the floor? Okay. They have ways of letting us know what they need. If they're hungry, if they need a diaper change, or if they're just plain mad. Mm-hmm. And they could have come in that morning being mad. We never know. Okay. So they have ways of communicating with us to make that work. But their behavior will tell us how they're feeling, and that's the only way they know how to communicate with us. It's hard for a young mother if the first time their child's ever thrown up. The baby must be thinking, I'm going to do this all the time. In their mind, they don't know they can stop, or that they'll do it again one day. They haven't learned that. This is the first time they did it. And so I had a young mother to call me, and she was a good friend of mine. And she says, I can't get her calmed down. I said, what's happening? She said, she just threw up. Well, Marianne, calm down. Has she ever thrown up before? No. Well, she probably thinks she's never going to quit. So just try to be as calm as you can. And her husband's a pediatrician. But, you know, she calls me, you shouldn't call him. But, you know, those kinds of things that we need to begin to think about. The next one is solving problems and forming a sense of self. And this is going to be children who have already become a little bit mobile, crawling, pulling up, they're able to do some things. I find it interesting how boys and girls, even at this age, can go about solving their problems differently. Mm-hmm. And I'm not ready to say it's always. I can't. But some of my experiences have shown me how girls can more quickly find a physical way to get to something than some boys. And that may be totally wrong for me to say that. But just from my own experience, I've just watched girls try quicker to solve a problem.
That's where we are.
That's what some of us never get out of that thing.
Yeah, boys are a little bit more.
But being able to solve problems, what are simple problems that babies are solving?
How to get what they want.
How to get what they want. That's right. How to reach for it. Mm-hmm. How to demand it.
Yeah.
And that's probably more at home.
Yes.
Or if you're in a setting where you teach them for several hours during the day, you can begin to see some of this play out. So, and some are very social during this time.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing it. Okay, so the one thing I'd like for you to leave here with tonight is that babies can still learn. We still have an obligation as a church to make sure that we talk to them about the Bible, that we use the Bible, that we make it a safe, secure environment for the family, for the baby, but that we communicate with parents. That we have an opportunity to talk to them at the door, get the information that they need. Y'all have a form, I'm sure, that they fill out when they come to the door to let you know what their needs are. What are some things that you do that make your room secure inside the classroom?
make sure the door handle is locked, like I guess they were locked down.
Okay.
Nobody can get in.
Okay. When you need to do that. Okay.
Your parents kind of know. They get to know you.
Mm-hmm.
So they say sometimes they say, I can see you're gonna take good care of my baby.
Yeah.
And he likes you already.
Uh-huh.
And they feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And baby, as soon as see me, is laughing, so that's make the parent feel good.
Mm-hmm. They do recognize us in our voices,
yes,
early. They can do that very well.
Okay.
And I just think that's so neat.
Yes.
That they already begin to make and build those relationships, mm-hmm, with you so that they even recognize you. Mm-hmm. And also, I love to tell teachers, not every baby in the classroom is going to prefer you. So at this point, just get over ourselves a little bit. They're going to love someone in that classroom. That's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
We can all divide up and take that. But, okay. I hope that you'll try something new. I hope that you'll try to use the impact items.
Who's got
to
touch with this one?
What? I'm sorry.
Yes.
What'd you
say? Well, that's kind of what we do in our class. It's like, you know, what I'm doing is not working, then we try somebody else.
Right. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
That's
right.
That
knows how to comfort that baby.
Right. We have a man that teaches in one of our baby rooms in Brentwood that is, he has his PhD and he's like a nuclear physics, you know. And Mr. Charlie can come across very, he may not always smile, but boy, we call him the baby whisperer. And you won't find anybody that loves babies more than he does. But he expects mom to tell him exactly what needs to be done. I mean, he's just, you know.
Okay.
And Charlie said, she told me to feed him at 9:30. So he started crying at 9:15.
Quinn.
Yeah. Well, she told me 9:30.
But, I mean, he'll do it.
But he can really calm a baby very easily. And he loves those. And now the moms are really, mm-hmm, the young moms love him. So it's kind of neat to have a man in the classroom to be able to.
Some do attach more to the men. I've seen, you know.
So they think of the papa. They compare.
Probably so.
Yeah.
They very much. So it takes both male and female in the classroom because we both give differently,
mm-hmm,
and we have giftedness in those areas of caregiving, and they,
mm-hmm,
they
can do that.
One thing I hope that you will do, and I have it over here on this wall, is that you will take time to pray for each child in your classroom. I think we can begin to pray forward, and that our prayers to those children go on in their lifetime, that we just pray forward in that. I have a friend whose daughter was very interested in missions. I knew her grandfather was a praying man. And so when she met with me to tell me what she was interested in doing, I said, your grandfather's prayers are being answered in your life. Because I know he prayed for his grandchildren. She said, I never thought of that. I said, well, your grandmother has told me her great-grandfather. I said, your grandmother has told me that her dad prayed for the grandchildren and the family constantly. So that was a neat fit. So there's no, as teachers, we can do that. And through that prayer, we become even closer to those families. We develop an empathy toward them, through their children, and then it brings us much joy to be able to teach their children. Okay? Do y'all have door prizes?
Good decision.